of things about key changes, even though obviously it's Ed Wellman who's kind of our expert when it comes to perfect pitch, key changes and various other things, is you can actually shift from the ting-tings effortlessly to...
...national who's who to CNN, from film criticism to royalty, from South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM... It's Richard Fitzwilliams.
Hey, see, that worked perfectly. Welcome, Richard. How are you?
Oh, I'm extremely well, I have to say, in the last week. A visit to Winchester, where I have to say what struck me was that since King Alfred, apart from recent persons born there, such as Colin Firth, there has only been Jane Austen, and she went to die there. It was rather extraordinary. And also a visit to Brighton, which I always find very entertaining, especially
Splendid.
When it's quite sunny.
Now, Winchester and Brighton are all very well, but I'm holding now Lincoln Agricultural Society. Be a part of it. Because in the studio we have a fabulous quartet of quality, Richard. We have the fantastic Katie Grimerson, who's still very keen on one day seeing you in Lincoln, and possibly for Lincoln Inspired, that will happen in May. Yeah.
Hello, Katie.
Hello. Hello.
She's choking with emotion. It is. We have Gabriella Peralta, our girl from Gibraltar, back with us again.
Hey.
Gabriella, hello.
And we have making their studio debuts, although they have been stalwarts of the show on our location reports, and indeed our stalwarts of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. We have Chloe Middleton and Amelia Highfield.
Hello, oh. Chloe and Amelia.
Hello.
Yeah. I better not quit the Duke of Wellington. Do you remember what he said?
go on, Richard. You know, he said,
"If there is anything in this world of which I know absolutely nothing, it is agriculture."
Yep.
No, then
no. No, it's not the strapline which would sit well, you know, with you
be
know,
a part of it.
Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, or as the Duke of Wellington once said, you know,
well, the Duke of Wellington, he was our finest soldier in the 19th century, but our worst politician. He tried to run a government as though it were a collection of generals, and it was a catastrophe. He was a ferocious reactionary.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment on the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society in terms of the way it's run, apart from it's done very well indeed. And I think Jane Southall does a fantastic job, and the whole team works like... I feel in many ways you're rather like the equivalent to the Red Arrows, but on the ground.
Yes.
Goodness
yes.
me, I mean, you couldn't put it higher than that.
So, Amelia, just before we go into Richard's reflections on the Screen Actors Guild Award and how possibly American Hustle is moving up in the likelihood of Academy success, Academy Award success, inside Llewellyn Davis, latest Coen Brothers movie, and indeed another little take for the late great James Gandolfini. Would you like to share? Because Richard, I mean, being he's born in South Africa but based in London, as they hopefully coming up to Lincoln in Lincolnshire, etc. You're an ideal sort of member of Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. Share,
of course.
What magical things are there?
Well, anybody can be a member of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. You don't just have to be a farmer. That's what we say.
You can be a film critic.
You can be anybody.
The former international editor of Who's Who magazine.
Yeah, tick.
From Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Not a magazine. I'm appalled. If there was an enemy of the Agricultural Society and you dropped the international Who's Who on them from a great height, they probably would be very little left of them.
They would, Dig. Absolutely, yes. Well, I'm still recovering from my purple tutu moment. Just ignore me. I'll close my microphone down. Amelia.
Yes.
Over to you.
So membership is an annual membership. So it starts from January, ends in December. It starts at £53 by direct debit, and that will get you into the show for both days.
Let's just sort of work through this, because effectively... fancy bypassing the queues, sipping Pimm's on the members' lawn, and generally enjoying the county's premier event in style. Entry to both days of the Lincolnshire Show. Okay. Priority parking, entertainment into the evening. Just some of the privileges you can actually enjoy with a Lincolnshire Agricultural Society membership. A membership is for all year, not just for show. It's exactly. And possibly even a signed autograph photograph of yourself, Amelia, and Jane Southall would possibly be there.
Yes, we could include that. Yeah, of course. We'll add that to the benefits. And also, obviously, you get to come to the Lincolnshire Food and Gift Fair in November. Uh-huh. We have a preview evening as well, so that's another little perk. But it is fantastic, and members really, really do enjoy the Lincolnshire
We've
show.
We've got the family entertainment, concerts, fairs, shopping, comedy nights, shows, parties, balls. literally, balls, as in sort of not glitter balls.
Yeah, not glitter balls.
Yes, tributes and a whole range of fantastic, plus, of course, that priority parking, which is wonderful. Although parking is usually fairly good from that point of view. And that is all there. And you can go, presumably, to the website of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, which is...
LincolnshireShowground.co.uk.
There you are, you see. You can like him on in fact, we should actually set a campaign to get Richard to like you on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, because he's very good at Facebook, is Richard.
Oh, OK. I'll find him on Facebook, then.
I had a very interesting experience, I must share with you, very fleetingly this week, and that was I discovered online there exists the 1984 transcript of, and also the live video, of the famous BBC production, which was the trial of Richard III. They put him on trial, they had a jury, they had a former Lord Chancellor presiding, and they had two QCs arguing the case whether or not, on the balance of probability, he killed the princes. It's really dramatic stuff, a mixture of Rumpole and the Bailey and the History Boys.
I mean, Richard, I know you brought this up, but we do have Chloe from Leicester in the studio, and I didn't want to mention the Richard III thing at all, in case...
I'm afraid I have very, very strong views on this matter, but I'd love to hear what Chloe thinks.
Yeah. Chloe, you know, should he be buried in Leicester, you know, Richard III, if he was found in a Leicester car park, or should he go off to York?
Well, it was his decision to be buried there, so... Well... Was it his decision or not? That's where we ended up, so maybe he should stay there. He's been happy there till now.
There you are, you see. Chloe, a classic viewpoint there, cutting through the garbage. Well, he's been happy there until now, you know.
Well, he certainly has been, having been defeated at Bosworth, mutilated, stripped naked, all the rest of it.
Not advantages from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, by the way. Just
no, we don't
say.
Do that.
Well, no mutilation, no.
No mutilation, no, not even hacked to bits. Whilst he was attempting to reach Henry Tudor's, Hedwig Tudor, and it's the last-ditch charge because a lot of his army deserted him. I suspect partly because of various rivalries within his realm and partly because of various rumours regarding the princes, very possibly. It's an interesting story, but it's fascinating to see this, this BBC very, very dramatic court hearing, which they staged. Regarding York and Leicester, I think we should perhaps have a word about that when the judge, because it's gone to court, it'll be perhaps later in the month or early next month.
I think they should have a fight. Bosworth would be a nice idea. Just sort it out there, basically. Just a sort of different one. Anyway, I mean, Chloe could be a referee.
I'll get myself back to Leicester.
We need you in Lincolnshire, Chloe.
Okay, I'll stop.
So, Richard, quickly moving on, because there's lots of things happening here. The Screen Actors Guild Award. Are you suggesting that because American Hustle, it's got Amy Adams, it's got, you know, the lass from Hunger Games, Jennifer Lawrence, you know, what's not to appreciate? Do you think that's going to actually effectively do away with the Steve McQueen joys of, arguably, the 12 Years a Slave, Gravity, and all the other areas? Do you think it's going to make that Academy Award pay for itself?
My comment is that I think it's going to make things more exciting. I simply do not believe that when the members of the Academy, they vote in two rounds, and there's 6,000 of them. The actors are the largest voting body. That's why the Screen Actors Guild Awards are so significant. So the fact that American Hustle won is significant, and it points to a very, very close Oscars race. But I still believe 12 Years a Slave will very definitely win. Gravity, frankly, hasn't a hope, simply because no science fiction film has ever won at the Oscars. And also, it might well win for Best Director for Alfonso Cuarón, but quite frankly, for all its technical genius and brilliance and the fact that it is a riveting film, there was this element that one did feel a little, I felt a little bit disengaged from the characters, because, and most particularly, I mean, Sandra Bullock was tremendously good, but she's going to be beaten by Kate Blanchett, because Blanchett...
He's not messing about today. He's saying it as he is. He sees it. You know, it's forget your Mark Commode vacillating on the fence, really. This is Richard Fitzwilliam straight in there. Okay. Time is tight, Richard, so let's move into Inside Llewelyn Davis.
Yes, this is somewhat of a cult movie, because it won the Grand Prix at Cannes. It's by the Coen brothers, which is always a good sign. And it's one of these quirky movies. It is set in the bitter winter in Greenwich Village in 1961, and it's a week in the life of Llewelyn Davis, a folk singer whose struggle to make it, whether professionally or personally, is a string of disasters. And I was, I have to say, very, very amused and entertained by this film, because there you have him, he's struggling, he's got no money, he gets beaten up, he's had a catastrophic personal life, which involves Jean, played by Kerry Mulligan, who believes that he's made her pregnant, and also the spit parts, the people he runs across, F. Murray Abraham, remember him in Salieri in Amadeus as an agent, and John Goodman, too, as a cantankerous curmudgeon, if ever there was one. It's one of those movies which is very entertaining, it's very unusual. The various parts, whether it's his father or his sister or various, Justin Timberlake's in the movie as well, it works. It's one of those extraordinary movies where you really do feel for someone who can't afford a greatcoat, huddling in the doorways of an icy New York winter, and also cats play a rather significant role, which...
Well, let's just hold it there, because anybody can use the four words cantankerous curmudgeon Justin Timberlake in the same sort of sentence and review, I think he's obviously on top form. It's nice to see the weather in New York has also come out to promote the film. That's Inside Llewellyn Davis. So, again, time is tight. Let's move on to James Gandolfini's final role before he sort of headed off to the Hollywood in the Sky. And, indeed, this is still being screened, etc.
Yes, indeed, and it's a very touching study of the way relationships can be influenced by very, very odd coincidences. Erbo, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's absolutely superb, by the way, the professional masseuse, and she's divorced. She meets both Marianne, played by Catherine Keener, also divorced, and Marianne was married to Albert. Albert is played by James Gandolfini, and Erbo meets him separately. When she realizes the relationship between the two of them, well, when you're having a massage, you talk. And she starts...
I don't know, let's just hold it there, actually. So, Katie, when you're having a massage, do you actually talk?
I don't know. I've never had a massage.
Never had a massage. It's interesting. We'll probably experiment. Amelia.
You could talk.
You could talk. But we don't know as yet because she hasn't had a massage. So let's move on to Amelia. Massage. Should we talk?
They don't necessarily talk. No, they usually play music, don't they? That's quite relaxing. Mm. So.
But you can, while you're relaxing, if you like, for example, discussing your ex-husband and why you tested him, then, for example, if the masseuse is actually having an affair with him, but you don't know, this is what... The cleverness.
I'm not aware Amelia actually has a first husband as yet.
I'm not married yet.
Maybe in a couple of years.
Hold
fire there, I'd say.
But the problem, you know, is that people are naturally curious. And Eva is...
Okay,
frankly,
we haven't finished this straw polish yet. Gabriella, I know you've got to leave us shortly, but, you know, massage...
I had one once.
Yeah.
It was awkward. I didn't talk throughout. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to have a massage again. I was just that uncomfortable. I just don't know. That
says it all. Well, there you go. Well, I think we're on the same wavelength with that routine. And I think Katie's put it down to, I don't think I'll be doing that anymore. Chloe.
I think I'd probably be falling asleep.
Yeah, it's all right. It's just my kind of attempt to say, is it real? Is it all right? Anyway, not to worry. You would give thumbs up to this particular piece, I take it, Richard.
Right. Yes, because what's clever about it, as you learn more about the person you're having a relationship with, so you also know their faults, and also you can irritate them. And also, naturally, when there's a daughter involved with a divorced couple, what happens when she realizes, in fact...
Sounds like a whole new avenue.
Found out. So this is a movie which is charming. James Gandolfini, I must pay tribute, obviously, Sopranos, and a remarkable figure, died rather young, and he's absolutely excellent. As a benign, he's a bit of a slob, but he certainly values loyalty. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, absolutely marvellous as ever, an actress very well known on television. I wasn't previously familiar with her. Enough Said is a marvellous movie.
There we are. Enough Said. So that's Enough Said, and it quite literally is. Inside Llewellyn Davis, and a little thought on the Screen Actors Guild. Gabriella, what are the last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, and I also realise that I should most specifically have mentioned that as to Ellen Davis, Oscar Isaac must join the list of individuals who I compliment on their performances in that movie.
There we are.
And will you be connecting with us again?
Indeed, I look forward to it, and coming in person.
Absolutely, Katie, it's all right. One, I know you were devastated last time.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
I'm afraid the
transport rail is a nightmare. It was like a scene from Lawrence of Arabia. You know, King's Cross, it is, and you were trying to go against the crowd. I did suggest, Richard, you could have been strapped to the top of the train, but sadly he didn't.
I think that's a passage to India.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the same sort of thing.
David Lean, it continues the theme.
Exactly. Coming up next, Ian Lennox. Williams. It's so easy. Well, I suppose it is up to a point, really, but life is easy. It's only people that make it hard. It's complications. Never mind. Let's not get philosophical, because we have a tremendous journalist online at present, Amelia Highfield, and indeed Chloe Middleton. I think it's fair to say that when we actually press the button which goes...
Journalist, TV producer, novelist, and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
The world comes to a stop. Doesn't it, Katie?
Yeah, it does. I always feel that his jingle's always cut off at the end.
Well, I like to kind of give that sense of anticipation, a bit like sort of the perils of Ian, insofar as he's and suddenly it gets cut off. It's, you know, it could almost be an epitaph. Thankfully not, and not for many years, because, you know, it's like one of his cooking classes. Anyways, Ian, good morning. How are we?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Splendid. Very good indeed. Mixed feelings with respect to the Sunderland game last night, because they've had a little bit of a hoodoo over, obviously, Manchester City, but at the same time, yeah, I think it should be doable, and I'm not sure as a Newcastle United supporter what your sort of views would actually be insofar as you might just think, well, you know, give them a chance to lose at Wembley or something.
No, I'm one of those people who want all the North East clubs to succeed, because I think it does good for the area.
Exactly. I still don't know, Ian, why you don't support the fantastic Skrill Premier League Lincoln City Football Club. I mean, they are in the East Midlands and doing remarkably well as a mid-table side. Yeah.
Well, I don't live there, so that's the reason.
I always saw a footballer when I was back at home for Christmas,
Katie,
in Sutton Coldfield.
Which footballer in Sutton Coldfield did you actually see?
Andreas Weimann. Yeah.
It's all right. There's no
sense of some enthusiasm there. I think.
Yes, it's all right. You're not expected to know who Andreas Weimann actually is.
But Aston Villa.
Exactly. Plays for Aston Villa. It's being a Leicester City girl.
He's a forward, isn't he?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about football, says Chloe. Don't worry. Nigel Pearson is the manager in charge of Leicester City, and of course you've got the Leicester Tigers. Well, maybe at the Lincolnshire show again this year.
I'm not sure whether they are. They've been for the last couple of years, so I'll have to find out for the next show.
Ian, in the studio, just to remind new listeners who are joining us, and indeed to sort of reprise folk who might be suffering from the memory of a goldfish, we have got the fabulous Amelia Highfield, who, Amelia, I've defined you in various ways this morning, you know, legendary, sensational, scintillating, ebullient, etc. But what's your official definition with the Linkage Agriculture Society?
I'm the marketing manager there.
Marketing manager.
That's right.
Of the Linkage Agriculture Society.
I do quite
Society.
Like how you've introduced me, so I made that my stick.
Well,
I might get my business cards read.
Always important. Very good, very good. And Chloe, your official role, because this is your second year you're heading into now with the Agriculture Society, and it is?
It is. I am the marketing assistant.
The marketing assistant.
I have a wonderful manager, but...
Exactly.
Pay her later.
And of course, Katie Grimmison, who experienced her first Lincolnshire show last year as one of our social networkers and tweeters and so on and so forth. I think it's fair to say we're working through that, Amelia, again.
Okay.
And we'll be sharing with the listener how things are going with her. But Ian, when's the last time you were at a county show?
Probably when I was a reporter on the local paper about 50 years ago.
And can you remember which show that was?
I can't.
So you see, that's the kind of lack of memorability, remembranceness in many ways, memorability, yes, that we couldn't say happens with the Lincolnshire Show, because it fits into that place, really. And when we deal with the media and the coverage of shows, it's fair to say that, you know, there aren't many stations like Siren FM who will consistently say, these are fantastic shows, we are drumming the things, and we're all through that whole system. Because there are cliches and stereotypes which we try to address, which people think about, aren't they?
Yeah, there are. Obviously, we do deal with things that we can't control, like the weather. We can't put an umbrella over the whole showground where we'd like to sometimes.
You could, but, you know, it's always there.
But
they do at Wimbledon.
Exactly. Oh. Maybe. Okay, so I need to pitch that next year to the show team.
That'll go down very well, Jane. You know, but it's a bit of a cost. Well, they do at Wimbledon, Jane.
They do. but all in all, we just have a fantastic time, don't we? So, and it's a feel good couple of days, and we love doing it.
You see, Ian doesn't realise this, but I'm just about to send him an email on behalf of Sarah Bullimore, a mutual colleague and friend. That's what we do there, to invite both Ian Lennox and Arthur McKenzie to officially come down to what we're referring to in Lincoln Inspired as Siren FM presents some of our favourite authors.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's what's called an on-air invitation, Ian. So you kind of prepare.
Right.
Yeah. Because you are a writer, as I said, at present, producing a whole variety of texts from The Brothers, from Gentlemen and Players, which is available on Kindle and so on. And I figured, why not actually put, you know, Ian together with Arthur and maybe Jenny Finch, a couple of other fine folk. And why do I mention Lincoln Inspired, Amelia? Because obviously, we also, in terms of Lincoln Inspired, have a place in the showground.
You do this year. And we've been working quite closely with Sarah, who
is the
lovely.
the genius behind the Lincoln Inspired.
Lincoln Inspired, exactly. Yes. And it was such a success last year. We contacted her and said, we'd love if you'd be able to bring an element of it to the Lincolnshire Show, which she grabbed the chance.
Exactly.
So, which is fantastic. So I've actually got a meeting with her next week, so we can
talk
Katie
has more. A meeting with her tomorrow.
Oh,
yes, I do.
Make sure I say hello.
Yeah, I will.
Exactly. There'll be lots of things going on in the Discovery Zone, and I think Lincoln Inspired tent will be one of the highlights.
And something, Ian, which even Newcastle can't actually attest to, in the not-too-distant future, the Lincolnshire Show comes to the town.
That's right.
Go on. What's happening with that?
We're actually taking elements of the Lincolnshire Show to the city centre. We've decided we're working with Lincoln Big, who run events right in the city centre. Although the showground's only 6 miles out, it's not
still,
even.
It's a decent horse, right?
It is, but it's fine. But it's but we're actually...
There we are.
But we're actually taking elements of the show, so hopefully Sarah will be joining us, so to do some of the Lincoln Inspired bits and bobs. We've also got All for One Choir, who are a community gospel choir, all be for performing with us. We will have tractors, we might have animals.
We really should set up our own choir called One for All, just a little.
Yes.
All for One.
What else have we got, Chloe?
But all kinds of things. We just want to make it more accessible for people who haven't been to show, who can come along and just get a teeny tiny bit of what the show is about.
And that is exactly the joy of the Lincoln
Show.
Are
you going to put a sort of video stall up to show people what the actual show shows?
Yes, we have. We will have a big screen. Did you see? You may not have seen.
I did like it and share it, but sometimes Ian just doesn't look at the stuff
I'll
I put on Facebook.
I'll send it to him. Yeah. We did a time lapse last year, so we put cameras on the top of our buildings for 2 weeks throughout the build up and the breakdown of the show. So it's actually sped up into 2 minutes. So you see the showground develop, and that will be shown.
Is that an enclosed area? Because if it was, you could put up old pictures of the show, you know, in days of yore.
We could definitely do that. I think we've got some...
Give them a sense of history and you know, with some words up telling people how it all started.
No,
and all,
yeah,
and
that sort
of
sounds
thing.
Fantastic.
Inevitably, over 130 years, lots of things have happened, mostly for the better. And in terms of that, let's give a few name checks to people like Alan Stennett, who obviously are sort of starling, wonderful sort of souls, etc. Clearly, Cartwright Communications are helping with the sort of scenes of that. There are a whole stack of other fine folk there. And in terms of other exhibitors, I know that the district herbalist, Hannah Sylvester, is keen to link up with Women in Rural Enterprise and
fantastic.
So on. So that's all. So you see, in the Lincolnshire Show is not just for agricultural files, you know, it's for people around the whole world who just love the whole essence of something which is quintessentially British and wonderful.
Well, I think you've got to go down that road now, because otherwise you're just going to get sectioned off into periphery things.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing's got to grow, it's going to diminish.
And the notion of the Lincolnshire Show ever being sectioned off amongst the periphery of things is just not going to happen. not on a Media Highfields watch.
No, it's developing every year. We look at, this year it's the focus is the Discovery Zone, which is out outside near the Schools Challenge. We had 4,000 children visit the show last year. Amazing. So we're developing that area to make sure that they can
That's
learn.
That's a really good idea, yeah, if you get young people involved.
Yeah, fantastic.
They'll obtain interest through their lives, really.
Genuinely superb in every sense of the word. In the second hour of the programme, we have Tim Gillett, who is one of BBC Essex's finest. He used to be with Breeze AM. We kind of joined the radio system at the same time. In fact, Tim actually introduced me to this whole medium of radio back in the century. And we have sort of decided that we feature Tim again. Curiously, Ed Wellman, who is an Essexophile extraordinaire, even though he's a Lincolnshire lad. I mean, isn't it? It's fair to say, Katie, that, you know, when it comes to Ed Wellman and Essex, it's a bit like yourself in Birmingham, really.
Yeah.
It's just all that. No sign. Anyway, Tim will be joining us in the second part. I think we must tell Tim, who has actually worked, I think, BBC Humberside, so he might have recalled some sort of time in the Lincolnshire area. We'll share that after the news at 9. We've also got William Sitwell. We've got some advice in terms of coping with credit card debt as well. We've got Melanie Crouch from Maplestar Music and Media, plus more stuff from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show team. Dynamic duo, of course, of Amelia and Chloe that we'll find out on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Katie, the last two questions for Ian at Lennox now are...
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have.
I'm coming up forward to connecting with you next week.
You can.
And, of course, Ian is also on Facebook, so you can bond and connect together.
Yes,
the whole
do.
Thing. Like each other. It's marvellous. Just spread that wonderful social world. And in the words of Lou Reed, what you get with the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society is...
Lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse. It's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you very much. OK, the weather today, highs of 6 degrees centigrade, lows of 1 degree centigrade, a cloudy start, clearing up by the mid-morning with sunny spells and showers. In the studio, Katie Grimmerson still with us. How are you, Katie?
Very good, thank you.
Good, all set for the second hour.
Yes.
It always gets interesting in the second hour, really. It's all great stuff. We still have, of course, the fabulous Amelia Highfield. How are you, Amelia?
Very well, thank you.
Since we last spoke 4 minutes ago.
Yes, I'm fantastic, thank you.
It's great, exactly. And, of course, we have a marketing assistant, Chloe Middleton. You think it's going well, Chloe?
I think it's going very well.
It's nice. And the return of Ed Wellman, MA, of course, these days. How are you, Ed?
I'm a little damp around the edges, actually, now you ask, because the weather conditions are possibly inclement out there. I think.
Bit inclement?
Yeah.
Phoenix was a radio station you worked on extensively, and you managed at Essex, wasn't that right?
Absolutely right. Phoenix, 98 FM.
Yeah, consistently sort of mentioning this joy of Essex and how fun the people are in Essex and so on and so forth. How that actually copes when you've got somebody who actually goes from Clapham, where David Bowie was born, around about that sort of region. Heading off there. And actually address that whole sort of system. I don't know, but whom do you think might be online at present, please, Ed?
It could be BBC Essex's finest, Tim Gillett, I
BBC
think.
BBC Essex's finest?
Yeah, one
is
of
that
many.
What he's... Tim Gillett, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. How are we?
Well, thank you very much. I don't know about finest, but talking about damp, we're expecting the latest heavy shower this winter to arrive in Essex imminently. Hasn't it been a wet winter? However, down here in Essex... The first winter without snow for 12 years. Can't be bad.
Yeah, well, Ed's obviously just gone into a transcendental state of bliss, I think, now, in terms of that whole system. I don't know. I mean, what is it? But I mean, Katie, when we first encountered an Essex traffic warden, we weren't that impressed, were we?
Oh, no.
Exactly.
What did they do to you?
Ed?
More a question of what she didn't do. We had a trip
people
down to...
put the ticket in there, put the money in there, put the ticket in there. But that's part and parcel of the whole thing.
2.5-hour drive to Newbury Park. I was saying Essex was the best place in the world, which, of course, we both know that it is. And when we got to Newbury Park, we got a mouthful off a car parking attendant, which is a bit embarrassing for
right.
me, to be honest.
Well, firstly, Newbury Park isn't officially Essex. Oh. It's in the London borough of Havering.
Oh.
So we can't take responsibility for that one. But I can say that you were luckier, actually, to encounter a traffic warden. Most of the traffic wardens have been sacked by councils across Essex, and the only people you see these days are in what's known as spy cars. And I've just read in my local paper for the South End area, South East Essex, that... The two spy cars in Southend made a total of £485,000 in collected parking fees over the last 2 years. And what do? They're little smart cars driven around by one person with a swivel 360-degree camera on its roof, and they hover on places where people may be parked for a few seconds on double yellow lines, take a snap, send it in the post with your fine, and Bob's your uncle, £60 in the kitty for the council.
See,
that's the way the traffic wardens are operating these days.
It's the campaigning line there that you actually get, which makes us glad we're in Lincolnshire. Isn't that right, Amelia?
That's right.
Yeah. Tim Gillett is the voice of news and sport on Ian Wyatt's Weekend Breakfast Show on BBC Essex.
Well, that's out of date. Hang on a second. Is that's it? Out of date. I
is
can
it?
Tell you that, yeah.
Listen.
He may be the voice on somebody else's breakfast show, I think, now.
Oh.
Peter Holmes, possibly.
We
Should
are.
We just check the fact that...
Well, he might as well. I mean, he's on the line.
You're absolutely right. Ian took voluntary redundancy some months ago. He's down in Spain these days.
It's nice to know that the News BBC website is already sort of on the case there. Which brings me to another point, Tim. Now, I mean, we've known each other, a few decades. And it's fair to say that I've always been a little bit bemused. As I share this with Ed, what is it with BBC local radio and having assistants who have to clutch their clipboards to their cells so much and run around with such ferocity? Are they all looking to be Pudsey Bear at Christmas? Or is it just a kind of training thing that they all go through? Because I don't recall you ever having to worry about a clipboard.
No, I don't use clipboards. I prefer a reporter's notebook and also an iPhone, which are now a regulation issue throughout the BBC for people who are out and about in various districts reporting. The iPhone does virtually everything, as well as enabling you to speak on it. It's got things like allowing you to up your voice from phone quality into studio quality. And various other bits and bobs as a...
Ed has demonstrated that with the Christmas market as well, have you not?
We have a little blue box in our studio that does just the same thing, Tim.
Yeah. I suppose it's transformed news gathering, actually, because no longer are you just a radio reporter these days. You're the eyes getting the pictures as well for websites and even for regional TV sometimes.
So I'm looking at the questionnaire that came through here with Tim's big questions. And Amelia, do you think we should actually just check this for verisimilitude? It's a bit like, you know, should we check Wikipedia for checking that the things are right, etc. Don't get a word like verisimilitude used regularly on Radio Essex, I'd suggest. But never mind. What was your first radio memory hearing dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum coming out of those old Bakelite wireless sets which Tim's mum used to turn on 10 minutes before the Archers started?
Yeah. It would probably listen with mother as well, actually, which in those days I think used to follow probably the Archers. And, of course, in those days, Woman's Hour used to be on at a different time than it is now. It used to be on the afternoons, I think.
This is where Katie has already decided to think, what are they talking about here? It's strange. Katie, of course, one of our Radio Worcestershire correspondents.
Warwickshire.
Well, source. Radio Warwickshire. And just in case you're wondering, Tim, because you probably haven't been listening online because you've got other things to do, I would have thought, Amelia from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, marketing officer extraordinaire, and marketing assistant, that would be Chloe Middleton.
Would you be able, therefore, to tell me what sort of potato I should grow on the allotment if I want jacket potatoes this coming spring and summer?
You've asked me a question there that I'm not sure how I can answer.
But you know somebody who could, I'm sure.
I can find out for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very kind. Yeah, I've got all the other types of potato, but I need a good...
You need a good jacket potato. My dad's actually a
farmer.
My dad's actually a farmer, and he will know. He hasn't grown potatoes for a good 20 years, but I will ask him and he'll be able to tell me.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
If memory serves, it was Tim Gillett who invited me to his household and the Gillett family back in Clapham, back in the 1980s, as we said. And, of course, you might like to follow this line of questioning through, Ed, as I feel I've tried to share some of the kind of experience that Tim obviously shared with me in that whole sort of passing the baton, shoulders of giant stuff, as your tutor for the MA Community Radio. So maybe you'd like to quiz Tim on the sort of lines we used to do. Because, of course, you've seen one of the videos, have you not, Ed?
I've seen the curtains.
Yeah, you've seen the Dulwich curtains.
And The haze. Tim, it says on our running order here, you were responsible for Alex Levchuk's first ever radio show in the 20th century. So come on, spill the beans.
Yes, but we didn't talk about the 19th century. But the 20th century, you're quite right. It was. I was working as a hobby, really. It wasn't really work. It was a volunteer at Radio Dulwich and St Francis, which is was and still is, I think, based at Dulwich Hospital quite near Peckham. In southeast London, and I was doing a show there. They were looking for new volunteers, and I invited Alex to come along as a guest on my show, first of all, and then he loved it so much that he applied to do his own show, and after ward visiting and collecting requests from people recovering from illness, he did his own show, and that was the beginning of his illustrious radio career. And every other program, he brought in rather a famous celebrity of the time, either an actor or an actress in the industry. But one thing that always remains in mind, that during those wilderness years of Doctor Who, Alexius was the person who kept the flame burning for Doctor Who. And little did he know, probably, that all these years later, it would become once again one of the leading TV shows and cult followings, entertainment as seen.
And here in Lincoln, Alex hosted a 50th Doctor Who celebration last year, in fact. So, Tim, tell us, when was the phrase reasonably interesting telephonic link coined? And from where did that come? Do you know?
I've never heard of it before.
Oh.
Everything.
I've ruined the moment.
That's probably because we didn't have things like phone balance units when actually Tim was working with us
I've
on that
ruined
basis.
The moment. Well,
it'll happen.
You'll hear those words in a
deny,
moment.
Deny everything. Yeah. That's the basic line that you actually work through from that point of view.
We used to shout in those days rather than use phones.
Very true. A couple of cans worked well. Chloe, how do you think? I mean, obviously, you weren't even born when Tim and myself started broadcasting. Neither actually was Katie or indeed Amelia. But any thoughts on what you've experienced on the show this morning?
I think it's great. I wish I was alive then, and then I would have been able to listen.
Time travel. Back to Doctor Who again.
Absolutely.
Quite simple. Get in, TARDIS. Away we go.
You can be the new assistant.
Very much so. Amelia.
No, I agree. I think it's been fantastic today. We love it, don't we? We love visiting here. We've got to get back to the office at some point, but we do love it.
Well, there we are. Just probably just before William Sitwell comes on board. Katie, now you're obviously somebody who's looking to break into, right? I mean, as an American studies undergraduate, soon to be graduate, of course, you started off 2 years ago. The show. So we'd like to share with Tim your experience. working through.
What of my radio experience?
Yeah, and it'd help the listener as well. Might be people say, hey, how can I be like Katie Grimason? How can I be Katie G? Top of the tree.
Well, Alex invited me on.
Don't
the
know why I've gone into a kind of Jamaican patois. I think it must be something I ate. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I remember when you invited me onto the Midweek Drive, and then it's just kind of stuck from October 2011.
Yeah, October 2011. Very long time ago, that was. Ed, do you want to have anything else in terms of fixes of Essex from a man who obviously sort of celebrates the best? In fact, I quote his line that actually says here, what one thing makes Essex so special? Tim's response, so many people give it a miss because it gets such a bad press. It's therefore left for some of the finest people on the planet, not half. And he's quoting Alan Fluff Freeman there, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah, I would say city, coastline and Essex people are diamonds, every single one of them.
Hmm.
Lincolnshire people are good too, I add. I have a foot in both camps,
exactly.
Obviously.
I should hope so,
Tim, what was the big story in Essex this morning on BBC Essex?
Do you know what? I've only been up for half an hour, so I don't know.
It's a day off.
I've allowed a day off. What happened was, my working week is a Wednesday to a Sunday, but last year in the run-up to Christmas, I was making some special programs, and I worked 3 Mondays on the trot, so I'm now claiming back those 3 Mondays by having Wednesday, Thursday and Friday off of this week. So I'm just trying to recharge my batteries.
But after exchanging Christmas cards for the last 2 decades, we figured it was time we actually came back on air, really. So it's very important. And he did.
Yeah.
So that's it for the 21st century then, as far as Tim and the show is concerned. No, only kidding. Ed, I feel it's up to you to throw those last two questions in the vernacular that we've coined over the years. Well, since actually 1990, really, to throw on down the line.
I will just bowl them gently down the M11 right now. Here they come, Tim. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on Siren FM this morning?
Yes, and it's good to see, or good to hear, rather.
You can see, but we just haven't got the webcam switched on at present, Tim. Don't worry.
It's good to hear that there are young people still interested in getting into radio, because if you believe... some people, radio is on its way out. I don't think it is. I think people will still tune into radio in years to come, not so much for the news, but for the presenters. It's wholly important, really, that we make programs which are interesting from a presenting point of view. If you speak to most people in the street and ask them for their favorite radio program, they'll probably reply by giving you the name of the presenter. The presenter is all important. The presenter can bring to radio what's not on the internet or the television.
It's quite deep, isn't it, for a response?
I like that.
Yeah, we don't really have brand names by presenters here. That's why it's the Midweek Drive Morley Edition.
Yeah. Just add that to the list. We'll do that. Tim, can we look forward to connecting with you again very soon?
Yes, of course. Yes, feel free at any point. Let's not leave it at
Free might obsess about the whole thing if he's felt, you know, without any sort of much as a by your leave, but still, sorry, it's an old joke. Don't know why I use that either. I think it won't be that long. You know, what do you think, Chloe? We shouldn't leave it about 20 years before we get back in touch with Tim Gillett, should we?
Definitely not.
Yeah, of course not, because as I say, he has actually travelled the A15 when he worked with BBC Ambleside, I think. He hasn't been to the Lancashire show, but...
Maybe you should
come to the Lancashire
show, then.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we're excited about the possibility of Southend United dumping Hull City out of the FA Cup this weekend.
Yep.
Hull City, all those Hull men and women are on their way down the A15 and then, of course, on the A12.
Tim, it's never dull. It's never dull in
Saturday afternoon. Phil Brown, now manager of Southend United,
he's getting carried away now. Even Ed's tuning out. You know, it's not good. Tim once actually had his top 10 played on the Capital Radio Hall of Fame with Roger Scott. And I do believe this actually was featured on it as well. Bye-bye, Tim. We'll let you play your mandolin. Happy trails.
Is John Peel on this one?
It could well be. I think so, yes.